Today we are on Psalm 128 is our sermon text, and we've been on this for a while, this Psalms and Proverbs series. And then the way that we wanted to conclude was to have a sub-series within this series, which is Songs of Ascent. The 15 Psalms talk the way fifth book of Psalter has been designated Songs of Ascent. So we are grateful, but this psalm is a third of the triad, which is triumph, so much of a blessing. And even the today's title is a living the blessed life. Would you pray with me as we begin? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is living water, lamp unto our feet, and guide us, quench our thirst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read it, Psalm 128, today's text. There is no specific author mentioned here, but it is also mentioned a song of ascent. Blessed is he, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The psalm is about blessedness. If I use the more plain language, the psalm is about happiness. But this psalm is also a wisdom psalm. So we ought to pay attention with our preconceived mind about what happiness and blessedness it looks like in our lives. With that in mind, if we give heed to the counsel, to the wisdom of this psalm, the two key words will emerge out of this psalm. And two key words is continually repeated as well. The first one is blessed. Even Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he started with 8 Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for there is a kingdom of God. Blessed is not such like, happy is the person, a little weak in terms of translation. The blessing has the weight of God's hand in it. So God's grace and favor upon, poured upon, and showered upon, which is supernatural, which means much more than our toil. If I worked this hard, I should get the law of harvest, I should get as much. But the blessing is so much more. 10 times, 20 times more. In other words, it's not due to the work and effort and self-will, but God's free gift, which means grace, poured upon us. As opposed to the curse for the ungodly, much less than your toil. And it's not luck or one-time favor, but it is a result of covenantal relationship with God. So think rightly. We need to think about how God began in the beginning. God created us. God desired to design everything to give us a blessing. That was life. But what happened? I'm sorry. Maybe that's not this slide. What happened in the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve fell. The fallenness of humankind, the sin has brought the sin and death and curse. So original intent of blessed life is no longer in the humankind. But if we think about the conventional way of thinking is living without God's rule, living without any fear of the Lord, this is an easy life. We get lucky and get wealthy. We get promoted. And that's the life. And then Christian life, if you have to follow God's will and God's rule, well, there are so many things that it's hard. And there are certain things that I cannot do because God desires. And this is a distortion, what evil one has done for us. Let's remember that. God's original design is a blessed life. Happiness that God provides for us within the boundary of His will. So that blessedness, the word is important. And then the second word is fear of the Lord. And then another one is that as much as we need to rethink about happiness, we need to rethink about fear of the Lord. Fear sounds like afraid. It's terror. But the word is reverent, means reverent awe, deep respect, full love for God. And those two words are continually repeated throughout the psalm, which implies the relationship between the two is the fear of the Lord is the key that unlocks the door to the blessed life, that restores what God created. So from the curse, so we're back to the boundaries of God's covenantal grace. The second thing to think about before we delve into the text, the right approach to blessedness, or should we say right approach to happiness, is not how can I get it. And this is counterintuitive, because all our life in our public education, we've been taught the American dream is all about pursuit of our happiness, our own happiness. It's in your reach if you want to. And this is free country, and you put your effort into it, you pursue it, and you could achieve the happiness. And that's not what Scripture says. Because what God desires us to pursue is not blessing itself, but God Himself. Our pilgrimage, the ascending to our the spiritual Jerusalem, Zion, is actually our goal. Is not health and wealth and then problem-free life, but God Himself. I'm going to have to come back to this, but this is hard to kind of get it through our mind, and because there are so many preconceived minds that we've been through. in this day and age. God himself is the source and giver of all blessings. Every gift, every good thing is from above, our Heavenly Father. Nothing good is apart from God, in other words. And as I mentioned before, the right approach is not how can I get it, but how do I enter into blessed relationship with God? And the blessing itself, happiness, if happiness is actually a byproduct from it. So with this mindset, we need to look at today's passage. There are three main points. When we ask, what does it mean to live the blessed life? The first one is obvious one. It means to know the secret, open secret, which is the fear of the Lord. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And verse 4 says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Eugene Peterson helps us to think about the fear of the Lord differently, because there's such a negative connotation about fear. But he writes, a fear of the Lord is a fear that pulls us out of our preoccupation with ourselves, our feelings, or our circumstances into a world of wonder. Why should we fear the Lord? There's two different dimensions to that. Because he is different from us. Because he is holy, we're not. Because he is all-powerful, sovereign God, we are not. Because he's a creator, we are his creation. We are creatures. Because our life and beginning and end is in his hand. So we should be having that kind of healthy fear. But another side of that, the fear is the reverent respect and deep respect. I think we should think about when we truly love. I really love this person. That always comes with deep admiration and respect. And think about someone that you really love, one of your favorite authors. The author kind of brings out the language of your heart that you could never express yourself. Or songwriter, or artist, or even athlete. I love this person. There's a deep admiration and respect. And that combined together is actually what it means to be in the sphere of God's blessing. This open secret is so simple that many of us stumble over it. And this is the one that I went ahead. The blessedness was meant for all by God, not for some only. But the fall broke the blessedness and the covenantal relationship with God. The fear restores the blessed life. I wish there is a way for me to dwell on this a little longer. Because unless we become convinced, the pathway to living the blessed life is the secret, is no secret to us. It's not happiness, it's not the good news, the gospel doesn't become as powerful, effective guidance for us. So in that regard, once again, we've been following the Eugene Peterson's book on the Songs of Ascent, the long obedience into the same direction, in the same direction. Wonderful book. And this is today's quote from Peterson's book. Fear God, Peterson writes. Reverence might be a better word. Awe. The Bible isn't interested in whether you believe God or not. It assumes that everyone more or less does. What it is interested in is the response we have to Him. Will you let God be as He is, majestic and holy, vast and wondrous? Or will we always be trying to whittle Him down to the size of our small minds, insist on confining Him within the boundaries we are comfortable with, refuse to think of Him other than the images that convenient to our lifestyle? But then we are dealing with the God of creation and the Christ of the cross, but with a dime store reproduction of something made up in our image, usually for commercial reasons. The fear of the Lord is not to scare us, but to bring us awesome attention before the grandeur of God, so that we can really see Him as He is and listen to Him as He speaks His merciful, life-changing words of forgiveness. That's helpful. So what does it mean to live the blessed life? It means to begin with the knowing the secret. The secret is in the fearing the Lord. Secondly, it means to live according to God's will. The verse 2 repeats a similar way, but it's important for us to pay attention to how it describes the fear, or should I say the result of fear. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His way. In other words, to fear God genuinely means to respect and trust Him enough to live according to what God desires and wills for us. Have you ever been trying to learn the sport that you love and you want to become better at it? I know some of you are into pickleball. I mean, I don't know, it's so popular these days. Back in my teenage years, during this winter vacation, something small happened, and it kind of opened my eyes. There was a guy who used to play in competition for table tennis. Up until then, I used to play ping pong. So it's like ping pong, that was how I used to play. Then he took an interest in a couple of us and taught us how to play table tennis. And for the beginning of it, just the motion of this. 1, 2, 3, to a point that every time when there was a rally going on, practice rally going on, it was kind of interesting for me that my mind is just focusing on that. But my hand is moving somehow without exception, the ball goes in the court. Then his coaching is poignant. And he will say something like, "You're too stiff. You need to be flexible." Okay, when you try to swing the ball, I swing your racket, not paddle. You need to swing it in a way that you are not, you know, stopping it, but mindful of. So whatever that it is, let's examine my attitude. I've been good at it. I don't want to listen to him. I'll do it my way, you know? Of course, that wouldn't be deep, you know, really respect for him. I don't really respect him. I don't really love him in that way. Pardon me for making this simple statement so, you know, long way. If we do fear the Lord, Scripture says, you will follow His will. You will do what He desires, even if you might not agree mentally at that moment. Why? You are not fully convinced. There is a time that we need to remember. In my mind, I think I know what's best for me. But because of my fallenness, I might be skewed in my perspective. Although I do not like what God is telling me to do, in the long run, God knows what's best for me. Have you ever done that? Maybe God's trying to give me illustration. The past week, the message prep was going well, and I got into conflict with my wife. And this time, I mean, usually it's my fault. This time, I was sure it was my wife's fault. I was furious. I will not let go of this until she kind of, you know, comes low and asks for forgiveness. So I'm thinking I'm going to enjoy at least 2-3 days of this powerful position. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. You need to let go of that. What you have in your hand, your right to be angry and your right to pay back, Jesus has paid for it. If you deal with God that way, you will never become a captive that way. That's not God's grace. That's not gospel living. So reluctantly, I said, "Can we have a 5-minute, 10, you know, conversation?" And I gave in. I basically, reluctantly, I said, "I wish I could hold on to this." But you know, the more I think about it, the more it's a stupid way of doing it. So I'm sorry too. That's a simple illustration. And then my feeling didn't come back over the next hour or so. It slowly came back and I became tender-hearted toward her too. But it is God to whom we are paying attention to when we fear the Lord. Not my feelings, not my center, not my orientation. If we say we fear the Lord, yet disobey His command, His desires, we are double-minded. We're fake. And it will not leave us in the curse, and it will bring us God's discipline. So the true fear of the Lord will lead us self-surrender to God's word and His guidance. I say self-surrender because there are times that we might not fully understand in terms of why. Count it for all joy when you face various of trials. I just can't understand why, Lord. But today, I will obey. I will surrender myself to you. My grumpiness, my blaming, shifting, everything, Lord, I surrender. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Jeremiah 5, verse 24 to 25 says, through Jeremiah, God declares His judgment on Israel. And even in the psalm, when we say Israel, it's not just the location of Israel, it's the people of God, of Israelites. The same way in this, the judgment on Israel is they, who? The people of Israel, do not say to themselves, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives autumn and spring rains in season, who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. Your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. When we live outside of that God's will and boundary and the fear of the Lord, we will experience God's discipline. The God's discipline is sour, sometimes severe. Sometimes it's very unpleasant. Sometimes it's earth-shaking to us to feel tempted to abandon our trust in God. That's the time our faith is tested, whether it is true faith or pseudo faith. So far, what does it mean to live a blessed life? To know the secret first, the fear of the Lord, and to live according to God's will. Thirdly, it means to thrive in God's blessings. And it's actually the whole chapter is about, the whole psalm is about that. But starting with the verse 2 to 6, as we read, think about the width of God's covering of His blessedness on us. How far it reaches and how deep. He said, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hand. Work life. Well, this is, once again, basic wisdom. In other words, normally in God's plan of will, if you continue to fear the Lord and obey, trust and obey, your work will continually become fruitful. There will be a complex wisdom, you know, because of our sin and because of complex word, or because of, you know, sin done to us and sin by the systems, and also there is a place that we become questioning, like Job, the dark night of the soul. But this is generally speaking. You shall eat the fruit, blessing that we will experience in our work. You shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. And your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Blessing is upon our family life and our marriage. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you. Verse 5 and 6 is almost like prayer and giving benediction. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. It's very plain, straightforward thing. May you see children's children. May God give you long life enough to see your great-children, grandchildren. The Lord bless you from Zion. It's not a significance of place from the New Testament believers, because Zion is basically where the temple is, where God dwells, where God himself is the source of that. And the prosperity of Jerusalem is where God dwells, the abundance of God's house. Peace upon Israel. Once again, this Hebrew word, peace, is not absence of war and conflict, but wholeness, shalom. What it ought to be in God's perfect design, that's shalom. The well-being of every aspect of our lives. Peace upon Israel, people of the Lord. So let's go back where I started. The hard way of living is a living in curse, going against God's pathway for us. But the happy way or blessed way of living is to thrive in God's blessings as a children of God. When I use the word thrive in God's blessings, yes, I do mean basic wisdom. Normally, when you continually obey and trust the Lord, that everything is happening in such a way that God's abundant blessing will make your lips rejoice and praise the Lord. But thrive requires trust. Do you remember the passage in Habakkuk? When there is no livestock in my barn, even there is no grapes in my vineyard, yet I will praise the Lord. Because of it's God's blessed life that he gives us, even in pain, that we could praise the Lord because of the blessing. Why? Even that suffering will work together for good to those who love God, which requires faith. I already went through this. This multifaceted blessing, the holistic area of blessing, is not just limited in one area, but every aspect of our lives. Therefore, the key to living blessed life and living happiness is to thrive in God's blessing, in the will of God who loves and provides for us. Before F. Meyer's quote, Oswald Chambers was an early 20th century Baptist, Scottish Baptist evangelist, who's most famous for his devotion. Actually, he was the collection, his preaching, his late wife put it together after he passed away. My utmost for his highest. And it was translated so far about 40 languages. It's never been out of print. And so much wisdom and awesome thing. Anyway, that this writer, Oswald Chambers, I think this quote is from his utmost, I'm my utmost for his highest as well. He says, the remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Which reminded me the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. You know, the second verse goes like this. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fears relieved. Did you get that? It took God's grace to open my eyes to fear the Lord. And that grace, same grace, helped me relieve all these fears that I had because I fear the Lord. The same thing what Oswald Chambers says. My confession, having gone through pandemic and past 2 years, the anxiety became so close companion of my journey. And if you look at anxiety, another way of looking at it, it is also fear. How do I live without fear and anxiety? If I keep my focus on God, that I fear the Lord, that He is greater than all other fears in my life, and I could be fine. Without fixing everything, and everything is not the way that I want, but God gives me relieved of those fears and anxiety. I think it's the same way as a Crossway family as we journey together. This coming the year, uncertainties, there are challenges there. But we could honestly say, by faith, grace relieved my fears, our fears, our anxieties. F. E. Meyer writes this fairly helpful words in light of this psalm. Meyer writes, and the blessed life lies in this, that we trust the Lord to do in us and for us what we could not do. When we find that He does not belie His word, but that according to our faith, so it is done to us. The weary spirit, which has vainly sought to realize its ideal by its own strivings and efforts, now gives itself over to the strong and tender hands of the Lord Jesus. And He accepts the task and at once begins to work in it, to will and to do of his own good pleasure, delivering it from the tyranny of besetting sins and fulfilling in it his own perfect ideal. The blessed life should be the normal life of every Christian in work and rest, in building up of the inner life, and in the working out of the life's plan. It is God's thought, not for few, but for all his children. The youngest and weakest may lay claim to it equally with the strongest and oldest. We should step into it at the moment of conversion without wandering with blistered feet for 40 years in the desert, or lying for 38 years with disappointed hopes in the porch of the house of mercy. Amen. There are three questions as we conclude the sermon. Three questions to ponder this week. The one is, do you know the secret of living the blessed life? The fear of the Lord. Or maybe we should say self-reflective. Do I know the secret of the living the blessed life? Secondly, do I live according to God's will if I really indeed fear the Lord? And thirdly, do I thrive in God's blessings by faith? I want to conclude with this story. The missionaries went to Africa, deep in jungles. And this one tribe, the chief was literally the tribal king. And traditionally in their tribes, the king had many wives. And the missionaries, in his wonderful like surprise, the king, the tribal chief, came to know Christ, receive Christ. And then he began to fear the Lord. And he find out it is God's will that he keep one wife and love and cherish his own one and only life for the rest of his life. With courage and decisiveness, he decided to put it into practice. He gathered all his wives and said, I'm going to let you go because I want to follow Christ. I want to keep one, but I don't know who to choose. But yet, I will let you go. You could name what you want. As much as I can, I will give you wish. The first wife steps out and said, I want the best house, the big house. It is yours now. The second and third began to name, I want gold, I want silver, I want jewelries. I want your children. I want to take them as mine. There was a one woman, the last one. She would not step out. She would continually weep. So the tribal king asked her, it's okay. You could name whatever you want. With a long pause, and she said, King, I want nothing but you. I love you The tribal king was obviously deeply moved. And she became his wife. One and only wife. As I reflect on this, I think about heaven. All of us want to go to heaven. And we have our ideas of what heaven looks like, right? In heaven, I want this, I want this. I want mansion, I want this. You know, I could eat whatever I want and I don't get fat. You know, all those things. That's, you know, my confession, right? You don't have to worry about it. But will heaven be heaven if there is no God there? Conversely, if you have your God as your husband, as your all, isn't it obvious that he owns everything? Well, let's not be cynical that that last wife calculated, if I say, I want you, I get everything he owns. No, she really did tearfully desired him. Blessing, happiness, good things, whatever that we want to happen in our lives from God, we need to look at one who is blessed. The blesser is greater than blessings. The gift giver is greater than gifts itself. That's why the secret is living in that relationship of the fear of the Lord. May we do that. Immediately, we might not see the results, the health and wealth and other things, and even our church. But if we enter into that relationship, that our focus is one and only God, that will be blessed life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you are blessing yourself. The Lord is our shepherd. We have everything we need in you. Would you imprint this upon our hearts that we might to live the life of blessedness as the people of God, as the Crossway Church family, as we celebrate 16 years of your faithfulness. Because you yourself is our treasure. And thank you so much for your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen.